Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. With children's imagination, toys take on a life of their own, but these toys really do take on a life of their own. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is June 3rd, 2013. And thanks for joining us today. We are beginning a three-day technology article that you can find on pages 12 through 14 in your Advanced magazine. The title is Augmented Reality, Toymaker's Latest Weapon. And toys are always changing. Companies are always coming up with new ideas to market and sell their toys. But now we are incorporating more and more digital technology into toys, and that's what we're going to be talking about here over the next 3 days, some of the changes that are going on with toys, and how receptive are these toys in the marketplace? What does it mean for the future of toy manufacturers, for toy manufacturers? So, great topic, and I've got some great panelists here to talk about this for the next 3 days. First, off to my right, Josh Mooney. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Bill. Great to be here.
Good to have you, and I'm very happy that Josh is here because he's got two young boys, and what are their ages?
Well, Luke is 8 and Noah is 5.
Okay, so Luke and Noah, and they're right in this age demographic where they are in the toy-wanting ages, right?
That's right. Yeah. We start talking about Christmas, oh, right about now, Bill.
Yeah.
June. making Christmas lists for what toys are going to be coming this year from Santa Claus.
Yeah, they're already mentally taking notes about what to put on that list for Santa Claus to bring them. So now I know you go shopping with them and maybe you're in stores. Is this something? I know I probably drove my parents crazy when we went into stores or malls because it was just constant, you know. I would see something, get excited about it, and you know, it's just – as a parent, what do you do? I mean, how do you keep turning kids down?
It's challenging. It is. I think you have to set some rules up front that, no, just because we're going out together doesn't mean you'll get something every time we go.
Yeah.
Because we go out a lot, and it would be expensive, and also spoiling them is an issue, right? So I think – we set parameters in terms of birthdays and Christmases and maybe as rewards for certain achievements in their lives that perhaps they can get a toy. But then you also run into the issue of kids having their own money and wanting to buy things with that. You know, red envelopes in Asia can somehow get kids in the mood to buy toys. So it's certainly something to think about in terms of how much stuff do we want to weigh kids down with.
You said something about you don't want to be spoiling kids. What do we mean by that, to spoil children?
It just means to give them more than they need and putting too much focus on material things and making them feel that they are entitled to anything and everything.
Yeah, and it happens where it is a problem later on in life. If children are given too many things, if they are spoiled, then it actually creates behavioral and emotional problems later on as they are adults.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Carolyn Bung's also here, all the way over from the studio classroom TV studio. Hi, Carolyn.
Well, hello, Bill.
Yeah, great to have you here. And it's great to have you here for your perspective on all of this as far as some of these toys, because we've got almost three different age groups here in the studio, and what I grew up with as toys or activities, very different maybe from what Josh had and what you had also.
Sure.
Yeah. What did you do as far as, you know, using toys, wanting toys? What were some of your favorite toys?
Favorite toys. Wow. Well, I really liked not dolls, but stuffed animals like Beanie Babies.
Yeah.
right? And I would take these Beanie Babies and I would act out stories between them. And usually I would take some of my brother's toys as well, because some of his were more interesting than mine.
Okay.
And I would have all of these very imaginative stories just played out, and the characters would interact, the toys would interact. It was very interesting, like just imagination going wild.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great, though. You were able to use your imagination. And you know, what I like about that is that you didn't have everything planted right there in front of you. You didn't have everything that had all the glitz and the glamour and the gadgets. And you didn't have all of these exotic stuff. You were dealing really with some pretty basic material.
Right.
And yet you used your imagination.
Now, there were some more technologically advanced toys, like what were they called? Digipets, something like that. It was like a little egg, and it had, and you had to press the buttons to feed it every day so that it would grow into a chicken or something. And
That was the advanced technology at that time. That was really advanced.
The advanced technology of my childhood.
Yeah.
But there were also video games and different things like that. Just lots of fun.
All right. Well, you didn't live in a cave.
No, I did not.
Okay. You actually did have some advanced toys, at least relatively advanced for the time. Josh, what about you?
I grew up in the 80s, and it was certainly video games. But a lot of imaginative play, too. I loved my baseball cards, about as low-tech as a toy as you can find. And I would, make up trades and games and all kinds of things to do with, small cardboard pieces of baseball history.
Yeah. All right. You know, as I was preparing for this, it made me think back to my childhood and what – my brother and I did with some of our friends. We played a lot of board games. That's really how we entertained ourselves. When it comes to games or toys, we did have a lot of board games we'd be playing, whether it was Monopoly or The Game of Life or Sorry or different games like that. Mm-hmm. That would be the indoor activities. And we did spend a lot of time outside riding our bicycles or playing baseball or football out in the street. We actually would be on the street playing a game.
Kids don't go outside anymore, Bill.
I was thinking it's so different. I just don't see kids out in the street playing games anymore, or even out in the field for the most part.
Hmm.
So it's all changed. Going from 10 or 15 years between you and I, and then 10 or 15 years between you and Carolyn. And it's just remarkable how things have changed. And actually, we're looking at the future today in this article. And someday there will come a point in time when we look back on this article and think, that was so simple, so old-fashioned. But right now, we're looking at augmented reality being integrated into toys. So let's get into this article right now. Turn to page 12, and our first reading will be that left column.
Augmented reality, toy makers' latest weapon. Toy makers hope to recapture children's interest with augmented reality apps. Unable to resist the Try Me sign, 8-year-old Julian Rivas held up a box containing the Star Wars Death Star Lego set in front of a yellow kiosk and was blown away. On the kiosk's TV screen, Rivas could see not only himself holding the box, but also a 3D image of the Death Star as it would look had he built it himself. Better yet, when Rivas rotated the box, the Death Star moved with it, revealing miniature guards sparring with lightsabers and laser guns firing into space. It was amazing, Rivas said, as he put the box back down at the Glendale, California Lego store. I could see the little Lego people walking around, and I heard R2-D2.
Okay, augmented reality. Toy maker's latest weapon. Now, right off the bat, what do we mean by augmented reality?
Well, it's a technology that puts a layer of basically the internet or technology, graphics, and things on top of what you're looking at in the physical world. Mm. And it's usually done through your mobile phone. You'll hold up your mobile device and your camera will then show you what you're looking at in the physical space and add content onto that. But it's also done the second way through your webcam on your laptop, or we're going to see at a digital kiosk.
Okay. We'll explore some of these different applications of augmented reality in this article. What does our deck say, Carolyn?
It says, toy makers hope to recapture children's interest with augmented reality apps.
Okay. So we're seeing really a blending right now of toys from toy makers and then also smartphones and tablets coming together and, of course, the apps that are all, you know, behind all of this augmented reality with the toys.
That's right. Toys, which were once mostly plastic, now have a lot of technology embedded in them.
Yeah. Now, that's a key point in this article. Now, when you say that, a lot of technology embedded in them, because people might read this article and say, the obvious question is, how does that work?
Mm-hmm.
How does it work?
Well, it's just putting chips, putting technology directly into the technology, or adding a layer to the experience with your mom's iPad or a smartphone.
Okay. All right. So as we go through this, keep in mind a lot of these, the boxes we talk about, the toys do have chips embedded in them. You can't even see them.
Right.
But they actually interact with the devices to create the images that are then presented, the augmented reality images. We start off with a narrative. Where are we? Who are we with, Carolyn?
Well, we see right here, unable to resist the Try Me sign, 8-year-old Julian Rivas held up a box containing the Star Wars Death Star Lego set in front of a yellow kiosk and was blown away. So we've got 8-year-old Julian Rivas, nice little boy here, looking at the Lego set. And he was blown away.
Blown away. Now, what do we mean blown away?
Well, it means he just couldn't believe what he saw. And we are with Julian in a Lego store. And that's the picture at the top of the page. Lego, at least in the States, has entire stores dedicated to the Lego toy. And they have these really interesting kiosks, which are almost like a TV built into a plastic stand. And he's got the box of the Death Star, which is one of the largest Star Wars toys that Lego makes. And he's holding it up to the screen.
Okay. Now, we say, just right in the beginning, unable to resist. What does that mean?
Well, it means that he just can't resist. He can't stop himself from doing something. And there's a Try Me sign on this box. And a lot of times we see toys or different things in stores that say, Try Me. And maybe you push a button, it makes a sound, or it plays some music, or it starts to dance, something like that. But here, it's a little bit different what happens when he tries it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sure anything, bright colors, some attractive sign, maybe a noise or something, anything to attract the interest of children. I know Josh has been in this position. He's trying to get the task done. He's got A, B, and C to get done. And it's almost impossible because they've got all this stuff in these stores attracting the attention of
That's
the children, right?
Right? It says, press here or try me. You'll be stuck for a while.
Yeah. Okay. So they're just the whole goal of this is just to get the kids to stop and look. And then, of course, the parents have to stop because the kid has stopped. And so then you got to deal with this whole thing. Well, here he is. Julian's holding up this Lego set, the box in front of – or not yet. He's looking at this and he's blown away by it. So now – what's there on the kiosk screen?
Well, he says he could not only see himself holding the box. You actually – there's a camera on the screen that takes a picture of you and puts you up on the TV. But then the box you're holding becomes almost like a movie right there on top of the box, a 3D image of the Death Star just as it would look like once you've spent weeks and weeks building it, shows up and rotates on top of the box.
Okay. Now, I actually went on YouTube and checked out a video of this to see what this looked like. And yeah, and you did too, Josh?
No, I've seen it in person.
You've seen it in person?
Oh.
Even better. And if any of us, if you've seen the Star Wars movies, of course, I think in the very first one, there's a 3D holographic image of Princess Leia being shown from somewhere off in the galaxy saying, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're our only hope, right?
Yes.
In essence, that's almost what it is.
That's like a
whole image that appears.
That's right. A holographic image, which means it's almost 3D-esque. I used a big word there, holographic. Maybe you've heard the word hologram, which is a superimposed 3D image. And in this case, it's triggering augmented reality off the box. There's a code. Sometimes it could be a QR code, or which we've talked about before on this program, just some sort of marker that's recognized by the camera that then triggers the interactive.
You mentioned something else, the QR codes. If it's not a chip embedded in the box, it will be a QR code that it identifies. It actually triggers a program then in this TV screen. All right. So, wow, he held it up, looked like he had built it himself. And then better yet.
Well, when Revis rotated the box, the Death Star moved with it. So he's holding this box up in front of the screen, and he moves the box, and the Death Star moves on the screen. So this sounds like a very, very fun way to experience a toy.
Yeah, it's not just a static way, we might say, or just something that's there and shown, but actually the child has some control in this situation. He's turning the box, and the Death Star is moving. And not only the Death Star is moving, what else is going on?
Well, we see that
very exciting.
When you move it, so you change the angle, you can see a different part. It revealed miniature guards sparring with lightsabers and laser guns firing out into space.
Pretty cool.
What are these guards doing?
Well, those are the Death Star guards. Yeah, the Empire has guards of the Death Star.
The stormtroopers?
And, oh, these were special. The Death Star guards are the guys in red, and they're really special. Okay. And they now reveal lightsabers and laser guns. The word sparring there just talks about fighting. So they are fighting, I would imagine, the rebels. And this is a bit, kind of gives you some insight into how Legos have changed. It's not about building anymore. It is really about imaginative play. Like Carolyn said she liked to do with her Beanie Babies. It's really about telling stories and having a whole, you know, whole worlds in your kids' living rooms.
Yeah, that's a good point, Josh, because in the past, Legos have been about building. The joy was in the building. Mm-hmm. And then once you got this thing done, well, you looked at it for a couple of days, then you took it apart.
Right.
Right? Now it's shifted to where the joy is in the final product, and then what do we do from that point on? You even said a lot of times kids don't even want to build anymore.
No. They'd rather just have dad build it and glue it together.
Right. They just want the finished product, the truck or the spaceship or something like that. Then they can go from there.
Yep.
All right. Well, what did Julian Revis think?
Well, he really liked it. He said that it was amazing, and he put the box back down, and he also said that I could see the little Lego people walking around, and I heard R2-D2. So it's not just – right. It's not just on the screen. He actually heard sounds that were triggered when he was moving this box. All he was doing was moving a box.
Yeah, so even sounds. Yeah, and okay, R2-D2, being that the small robot in there, kind of small, round, and he kind of spun around. So that was R2-D2. Okay, let's do this. Let's get into our second reading for today.
Toys in the Tech Realm. The kiosk was equipped with a small camera in one of the latest technologies to hit the toy market, augmented reality. The technology, which superimposes digital images, video, or animation over users' live surroundings, has been around for several years. During the holiday season, it made its way into retail stores in a big way as toy makers sought new ways to sell more products. In an age when even toddlers use tablets and smartphones, capturing children's interest and imagination is harder than ever, toy analysts and toy makers said. Kids are moving very quickly past their physical toy and into the tech realm, said Jason Moser, a toy analyst with Motley Fool, a financial information website. Children as young as 5 are outgrowing physical toys. They want the touchscreen stuff, said Carla Gomez, a stay-at-home mom. Mobile apps, many of which are free, can keep kids entertained for hours and often have an educational focus, Moser said. These are all big wins for parents, but may represent big losses for traditional toy makers.
Okay, we have we keep mentioning the word kiosk, and it's been one of our vocab focus or specialized terms in the past. Kiosk would be just an independent stand that will have maybe a computer on it, a screen, a keyboard where you see them at the airport. You go to a kiosk, you get your boarding passes, register your luggage, or you might see a kiosk in a convenience store that's got, you know, maybe something, a computer you can access buy tickets from. So we keep using that term, kiosk. They've got them all around these stores. And we did talk about how they are equipped, right?
That's right. Usually they have a small camera in them. And in this case, it brings out through that camera one of the latest technologies to hit the toy market, augmented reality. And I like that phrase in our title here, in the tech realm. And that's almost within the universe of toys and technology. A good word, realm.
Yeah. And then the next paragraph does talk about how it happens.
Yes. So the technology superimposes digital images, video, or animation over a user's live surroundings. And this technology is not really new. It's been around for a few years, but It superimposes these images or videos on what is actually there. And if you superimpose something, then you put it over something else, but you aren't covering it. Both things can still be seen.
Okay. Very good. All right. Now, it's been around for several years, and we say here during the holiday season, and when we say that, we're talking about last year, Christmas time, November, December, right, Josh?
That's right. And that's when it made its way into retail stores, so the places we all go to buy things during the Christmas season. And it came out in a big way as toy makers, it says, sought new ways to sell more products. And toys, as we're going to talk about today and over the next few days, are certainly competing with things they didn't used to have to compete with, like smartphones and mom and dad's tablets. Mm-hmm. So toy makers are having to work harder to sell things.
In fact, that next paragraph gets into exactly that, right, Carolyn?
It does. It says, in an age when even toddlers use tablets and smartphones, it's really hard for me to imagine that toddlers are using tablets and smartphones, because I didn't have even a normal phone until I was 18.
Yeah.
So this is like, whoa, okay. But it says, capturing children's interest and imagination is harder than ever. And this is from the perspective of toy analysts and toy makers, both.
Right. Well, I think maybe all of us have seen here recently, I know a couple very closely, and they have a child that is about 1 year and 2 months old, and the child actually has been entertaining itself with a tablet, with an iPad, and because the parents are busy at certain times, and what they do is they just plop this iPad in front of the child and actually has kind of not learning how to necessarily use it, but is so interested in the screen. Because then the screen is keeping the child entertained, has almost become now, I don't know if I want to use the word addicted, but this has become the entertainment mode for the child.
Oh, yeah. We started giving our 2-year-old, their youngest son, our tablet when he was 2. I mean, he knew his password at 2 years old and where the apps were that he liked to play and how to play them. It's saved us a lot of headaches in restaurants, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So it's not rattles and rattlers anymore where they shake and make noise or something else they can play with physically, but now it's the gadget that is entertaining them. It just like glues their eyes to this stuff. And then, in fact, we hear from Jason Moser in the next paragraph.
Yes, he says, kids are moving very quickly past their physical toy and into the tech realm. So it's true. Kids don't want to play with their toys. They want to play with something that's technology, right?
Of course,
something with technology.
They don't want to be playing with those dolls you had, Carolyn.
Yeah.
That imagination stuff. Ah, that stuff's so old.
Oh, yes.
All right. Who's Jason Moser?
Well, he is an analyst with Motley Fool, which is a website that talks about stocks. And he says that end of that paragraph talks about children as young as 5 are outgrowing physical toys. And I'd say children as young as 3 mm-hmm. are starting to do it. And I think some of it has to do with you watching your parents play so much on their phones and tablets and wanting to do what they do.
Want to be like big people.
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, that's kind of what Carla Gomez continues with in the next statement.
She says she's a stay-at-home mom, and she says they want the touchscreen stuff. And touchscreen is any device that has something you can touch. And I've seen it in my kids and in kids out in retail environments that I go to. Kids are expecting every screen to be touch these days.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't believe that televisions or that some kiosks aren't touch. And they'll go up there and press on the television 2 or 3 times and wonder why it's not responding.
Kids have always loved to push buttons. Put them on an elevator and they'll start pushing all the buttons, all the floors. And mobile apps are like that. They appeal to this desire to push buttons or touch the screen. And Jason Mosier comes back here in the last paragraph in line 21. About this.
That's right. He says, mobile apps, many of which are free, can keep kids entertained for hours and often have a big educational focus. So it's true, the kids want to play these games, they're technology focused, they're educational focused, and they're very entertaining.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that it saved you and your wife some stress, some aggravation, right? Restaurants, things like that?
Yes. Nothing like keeping kids quiet in a noisy restaurant, like handing them your phone.
Well, and you need something. You need something because kids will get bored in restaurants or other settings within 10 or 15 minutes. They just get bored. They don't want to sit there and talk.
Right.
Yeah, they want to do. They want to move, mm-hmm. stuff like that. So this is a big win for parents having technology like that. But
it's a big loss, it says, for traditional toy makers. And when someone's making traditional toys, they're primarily using plastic, making Barbie dolls and trucks and things like that.
Okay. All right. How can these traditional toy makers maintain their market share? Well, we'll find out some more of their ideas in our next day and the day after that. So come on back. We'll see you then. Goodbye.